flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do we have DI? We had DI because you denied us diversity. You denied us equity. You denied us inclusion. DEI was a remedy to the racial institutional bigotry practiced in academia and in these corporations. Now you want to put us back in the back of the bus. We gonna do the Dr. King Rosa Parks on you.
So you have Al Sharpton there. He's back in Al Sharpton form, pushing against Donald Trump's day two initiative of ending DEI in our government institutions. And that among a lightning fast start to this Donald Trump administration, we go to our friend Roy Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist, a Fox News contributor and Project 21 ambassador as well. Roy, it's great to have you. Good week so far. How do you feel about President Trump and the work he's already got done?
Boy, as you say, Annie, in a very good way, dizzying. It's amazing how much this man has done in just 2 days compared to how little Joe Biden would do in an average month. I mean, it's amazing. The level of energy and relentlessness and focus, this man's not wasting a minute to get his agenda delivered and to keep the promises that he made to the American people in the election last November.
You know, one of the things that is interesting is to see who starts to come out of the woodwork. Now that Donald Trump is back in a position of the presidency, to see Al Sharpton, we haven't heard from Al Sharpton for 4 years. I guess everything was great for 4 years under Joe Biden. There were no problems at all. Joe Biden fixed all of the issues facing our country. And on day two, Al Sharpton is calling on the names of Rosa Parks to do that once again. Do you feel that Al Sharpton sentiment in your life now that Donald Trump is the president once again?
Oh, thank God Al Sharpton's back to protect me and my rights. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is the usual nonsense about Rosa Parks and Jim Crow, and they're going to bring back all the ghosts of the 1950s and on and on and on and on and on. And, I think that people should remember, in the absence of diversity, equity, inclusion, all these various programs that have been started over the last few years under Biden, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, being spent on this, thousands of government workers, federal, state, and local level. There's not much that Trump can do about the state and local workers, but certainly the federal ones. They're supposed to have their offices cleaned out by 5 o'clock today. Doors locked, and then I guess they'll be put on administrative leave and maybe fired after that. But look, we still have the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Every state and city in this country has at least one or more civil rights divisions, equal employment opportunity divisions and departments and agencies. I mean, the whole civil rights anti-discrimination infrastructure remains. So if somebody is a cop or a teacher or a firefighter or whatever and feels, gee, I didn't get that promotion or that raise or whatever it is because I'm black or Hispanic or female or a lot of places, gay or whatever it might be, you have a right to go in and say, look, my boss doesn't like black people. My boss hates Hispanics. My boss can't stand women, whatever it is. And, I want my job back. I want my back pay. I want my raise, whatever it might be. All that stuff still sits there. What's going to go away, thankfully, is the whole DEI critical race theory obsessiveness, where you spend every waking moment focused on what happened in 1619 and we're descended from slaves and every white person is an oppressor and every black person is a victim. And if you're black, you're never going to make it. If you're white, you're never going to be anything other than a raving bigot, et cetera, et cetera. And this horrible infrastructure that's been designed to pit Americans against each other, make us hate each other, make us hate the country in which we all live, in which we share. And I'm very happy to see that go away. And if people are, in fact, victims of discrimination. They still have all of that civil rights infrastructure on which they can rely that's been there since 1964 in the Civil Rights Act that Dr. King and so many other civil rights activists were able to get signed into law by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
I appreciate that so much because those rights of people to not be discriminated against still exist. But what we've seen from the left through their creation of the diversity, equity, and inclusion measures that were put into all of these different institutions, it prioritized it in a way that in the end was discriminatory in and of itself. And it's interesting to me that you're saying that in the absence of DEI, we can still prioritize making sure that nobody is left out because of their race or creed or sexual preference or whatever it might be, that those elements still exist without DEI. And it makes me wonder if the left ever really actually cared about diversity or if it was always a marketing strategy for politics.
I think it, much more than just, I wish it were just a marketing strategy for politics. I think that DEI, critical race theory, all these things go well beyond that. Those are essentially machines of cultural Marxism designed to demolish America, designed to make us fight with each other, hate the country, and bring the whole thing down. It comes out of the Frankfurt School, which essentially were Marxists in Germany about 100 years ago who were mystified as to why the workers did not rise and seize the instruments of production from the bourgeoisie. And they figured that maybe poor people really don't want to get rich, and the class struggle didn't work. So let's have them struggle over race, gender, struggle over sexuality, etc. And that's why you see, thankfully, disappearing in the rearview mirror, but very much alive and well when Joe Biden was president. Very happy to put that in the past tense. And every time you turn on the TV, it's some program in which we're sicking black people against white people against black people, assuming that they're supposed to be in this kind of a celebrity death match, if you will. Everything's about gender, everything's about sexuality, and we just tear the country in half over all these different things, or tear us into pieces over all these different things. And that goes well beyond either let's make sure that no one is a victim of inappropriate discrimination, or, as you say, just a way of getting votes. I think it goes, it's much more nefarious than that, much more deeply ingrained or at least intended to split Americans apart in as many different ways as we can and keep us from moving forward together.
Well, let's transition this into a broader conversation about the Trump administration so far as a whole. I literally saw this on a Facebook post of a friend that I have who was not very happy about Donald Trump being sworn in. And a comment under there, didn't know who the person was, is, "I fear for all of my friends who are not straight white males." Does Donald Trump have anything in this administration that is going to benefit people who happen to not be straight white males?
Yeah, look, I think his entire agenda is designed to help the country as a whole, not just help straight white men. You know, I think having an economy that's growing, having employment opportunities that are rising, being energy independent, maintaining peace through strength, making it possible for Americans to travel the world without being blown up and American ships to go into the Red Sea without being shot at by Houthi rebels. I hope people, our friends in Israel, being able to go about their lives in peace, as well as Americans who visit there, and have the Ayatollahs in Iran fearing for their lives rather than figuring out how to build atomic weapons to kill us and kill Israel and Jews and Americans and our allies around the world. You know, you don't have to be straight or white or Christian or any of those, or male or any of those things, in order to benefit from all of those very positive policies. I think this is designed to help the entire country, not just people who happen to be men who are heterosexual and happen to believe in Jesus Christ. Mm.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now, nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. I don't know how close you know Donald Trump yourself in your relationship with people who are in your circles, but I do know that from where I sit, I observe Donald Trump, including people of all different walks of life, in actual effective positions that surround him in making the big decisions to enacting the big decisions. Do you think that Donald Trump walks the walk when he's talking about merit, about hiring the people who are the best for the job, regardless of all of these, you know, demographical details?
Well, that's certainly true. I think he's looking for people and has hired and nominated people who are very energetic, believe in his agenda, The left likes to say, oh, my God, they're loyalists. Well, gee, what a shock. He's not appointing Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, to be the Secretary of Education. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, having someone who's actually loyal to the idea of school choice and having kids actually learn something.
And children,
And children is going to run the Department of Education. God forbid we should have that. People actually believe in his agenda. And these people, many of them are very successful in business. Many of them are very successful broadcasters, as you've seen on Fox News. I think that a lot of my colleagues, many of whom I know very well, with whom I've been on the air, these are people who are going to be very well spoken and will do a great job of communicating the Trump agenda and the goals and accomplishments of these various agencies, whether it's the Pentagon or the State Department, where Tammy Bruce will be spokesman or what have you. And these people, I think, will do a great job and are qualified. And by the way, they're not all straight white males. There are quite a few. I can tell you that Scott Bessent, our new Secretary of the Treasury, happens to be a gay man with a husband and children. We've got Rick Grenell, who's the special envoy for, I think, for peace in general. He'll be working on various diplomatic measures. He happens to be a gay man. We have Pam Bondi, who's a woman, who's the incoming Attorney General. As I mentioned, the Secretary of Education, she's a woman. The White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, is a woman. So there, a lot of these people I'm mentioning happen to be not male and straight, not straight. And I know we have some Hispanics. Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State. He's not white. He's Hispanic. So I see a lot of non-straight, non-white, non-males in positions of great authority. And Trump has put tremendous responsibility on their shoulders, expects much of them. And I think they're going to deliver for the American people.
DeRoy, you know, I'm thinking back to this time period, maybe the last 75 days of the results of the 2020 election, when Joe Biden was in transition and they were announcing cabinet picks and nominees and all that. And the number one thing that they would lead with when they were talking about a particular nomination was the historic measure by which this nomination was taking place. And it was always some sort of demographical, like, this is the first gay person, this is the first transgender person, so on and so forth. It was the top thing that they listed as a qualification and point of note of the people they put into these positions. And it's striking to me, especially with the list that you just provided to us of the diversity that exists with the Trump nominations and appointments, that's never mentioned in the way the administration, the Trump campaign administration, puts out these people. They don't highlight this stuff. And then you've got people who are ignorant to the fact that actually there are a lot of non-straight white men who are participating in this. Do you think the Trump administration should highlight more the diversity that they have in some of these positions?
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, this sort of thing eventually gets out. Frankly, I've been struck at how little has been made of the fact that our, I assume incoming, if he's confirmed and likely will be, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is not only a gay man, but a married gay man with a husband, who, or both of whom are raising children. You'd think either the left would say, gee, okay, well, we kind of like that, or people on the maybe more social conservatives might, or religious conservatives might have some concern. It's been a non-issue. It's not come up at all, left, middle, or right, which I think is rather remarkable and probably even a good thing. So not only is Trump not, you know, waving the pom-poms about this sort of thing, but, you know, I see very, very few people on the left, middle, or right making much noise about it at all. And that's sort of the way it should be. You know, are you talented? Can you do the job? Are you bringing some actual skills to the office? And will you perform well for the American people, American taxpayers? And, you know, what your racial background is, or, you know, what you do, you know, behind closed doors with the lights off doesn't seem to be much of interest to anybody. And boy, what a relief that is to compare to what we have under Biden, which is, you know, the first thing you mention about somebody is, you know, what the person's color is, or, you know, what the person's sexuality is.
Yeah, I think it speaks very highly to President Trump's conviction of merit, of hiring on merit. And it's nice to know that the Secretary of Treasury, I believe, is who you were saying, that he is in that position because he's the right man for the job. And not anything else. And then those details are important to him in his life, but to the American people in the position of that nomination, he's qualified, and that's all that really matters.
That is correct, and boy, what a contrast to a guy like Pete Buttigieg, who the recently departed Secretary of Transportation, who was bandied about as, oh, he's the first gay secretary, cabinet secretary, when in fact Rick Grenell was the acting director of National Director of Intelligence, which in fact made him the first gay secretary ever. But anyway, that was the big thing about Pete Buttigieg, and he's got a husband, and they've spent some time. I think he spent, what, 3 or 4 months of paternity leave with Chase and his husband with the adopted kid or kids, whatever it was, while we had this tremendous disaster with the delivery chain. I'm slipping on the phrase now, the chain of delivery, whatever that's called. Mm. Supply chain is what I meant. Mm-hmm. Supply chain imploding during COVID. And at one point, we had something like 100 or 105 freighters off the coast of Long Beach, California, waiting to come in and unload their cargo. And as a consequence, we had many products that were not on store shelves for weeks and months, while the incompetent Pete Buttigieg, who knew nothing whatsoever about transportation and was spending all of his time taking care of his, you know, husband and new adopted baby or babies, maybe that too, I can't remember, rather than doing his job and helping us get products from Long Beach and San Pedro across the country onto store shelves from coast to coast. But hey, he was the first gay guy in that job, so yay, I guess that makes it all okay. Yeah. And that's sort of the approach of the left, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are now, thankfully, former president and former vice president.
Joy, it's a pleasure to have you. It was great to have this conversation. Our first conversation back in the Trump presidency. I'm looking forward to all the ones that come after this one.
And how comforting this has been and will be. I look forward to more.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you, Joy. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Annie. Be well. Bye-bye.
Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, our friend, Joy Murdoch. You can check that if you didn't hear the whole conversation on our podcast, anniefryshow.com/podcast, or my high recommendation of downloading the Audacy app, AUDACY. When you download it, you can stream 97.1 anywhere you go. You can Bluetooth it into your car, or your speakers in your house, and get crystal clear connection there if you ever have trouble with our signal. You can go to the Audacy app and take us with you anywhere you go. And while you're in the Audacy app, find the Annie Fry Show, and you'll get your podcast there as well. All right, let's get Ryan back in studio here when we come back. Fine. We'll talk about the bishop, the lady bishop, the broad, as Ryan. That's not really fair. It's kind of fair.
He definitely said it.
He said broadly. I think we know what he meant. He can clarify when he comes back. Did you hear what she had to say to President Trump at the, it was a prayer service. I guess we heard what her prayer was in her verbal admonishment of Donald Trump at the prayer ceremony there. Let's discuss when we come back.
Don't ask my opinion, don't ask me to lie.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. This is The Annie Fry Show.
I'm only human after all.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is The Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Joy Murdoch there talking with us about the DEI that is about to be died.
That was very clever. I'm writing that down as like the chapter title of this hour.
That's bad. And also, I thought about doing that halfway through the spelling.
Well, that's what it is now. So
yes, it's out there, Jerry.
It should be died.
Do you? I really wonder what is, if this is going to be the resistance, if it's the DEI thing for the left. Because there's going to be a lot that Donald Trump is doing right now and putting into place that is going to help a lot of people. People are going to see the southern border being secure. People are going to see action in place with deportations. People are going to see all of the, you know, the AI investment that was announced yesterday, pretty much right after our show got done here. People are going to see all these things that are going to be good for the United States of America. And it's going to be hard for the left to hang their hat on an obvious hook to get people back in on, oh, we got to get the left. We got to get them. We got to give them the control of the House, or that's the most reachable thing in the midterms. It makes me feel like DEI is the easiest thing for them to do and the number one place to hang their hat that would screw them over for the next election.
Yeah, but they are kind of leaning into that right now. It is, it's like they're trying to figure out what's our thing. How to, and this is probably an individual thing just
as much.
The American
people should be your thing. Start there.
Well, I think people who go, Donald Trump in particular, but Republicans in general, are just the worst. Yes, the country just elected them in every chamber, but why am I better than that? I think, honestly, that's like a real question people are asking. I don't like this. Why am I better than that? And I think they're looking to DEI and this diversity thing and saying, well, I'm a caring person. These people aren't. I am a caring person. And that does seem like something that could stick. Like they would say, this is the thing that sets me apart. This is the thing that sets the left apart. That's us. We're caring.
In the DEI world, the trifecta, if you had it on your bingo card and you were at the prayer service, this bishop, she would have, you just, bingo!
Oh, there's one.
Yeah.
There's one.
I don't like her voice.
I'm not sure I would sit through a whole lot of her sermons, to be honest with you.
Did you ever watch, trust me, this is connected. Did you ever watch The Second Wizard of Oz? Yes.
A Return to Oz?
Yes.
Is it the scariest movie ever made?
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah.
It's actually a little closer to the books than the first one, though.
In The Second Wizard of Oz, I'm recollecting here, and it could be wrong, is there a place where they're hooking Dorothy up to some sort of machine and, like, I don't even know what they're doing to her. Like the big black witch.
I don't remember that. It's been a while since I've seen that, but there's that wouldn't surprise me because there's a lot of weird, unsettling fantasy elements in that.
I want to go. I don't know if Ethan's probably busy right now, but it feels like there is this part in that movie where I think it's Dorothy. They're doing something to Dorothy, and the woman who's doing it to her talks like this bishop.
Oh, yeah?
It's like this super soft.
What's it?
Admonishment.
Oh, the lady, that does sound familiar.
Doesn't it sound
that, like
yeah.
heads or whatever?
Oh, in the hallway. Yeah. That her
Why
head
was
keeps
she changing
flipping around.
Heads?
I'm telling you what, the mid-80s were weird, man. There was some stuff they made for kids.
What drugs were you doing and thinking children should consume the aftermath?
That was with Fairuza Balk. I just watched Jennifer
Garuba
Connelly.
Salt.
Yeah. I just watched Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth, which was made around that same time. Same type of movie. Dark Crystal. Willow.
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 I'm throwing it all in one category.
Leave Willow alone.
Oh, no. Willow is where Willow belongs. Ryan's correct on this one.
Thank you.
No. Willow's weird. I don't even know what the point of Return to Oz was. I remember there was a round robot. You walk like this.
Yeah, that was TikTok. That was TikTok. It was TikTok.
The OG, that's our TikTok.
Yeah.
That's TikTok. TikTok. That's right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so all of this to say that when I heard her speaking, I felt uncomfortable just solely because of the way that she delivered her message. Her voice made me nervous. And there's definitely a visual component to it. We're going to share this on our live stream. Of course, if you want to jump on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can see it here. But it's important to watch the reactions of the people who this bishop is speaking to at this prayer service.
I ask you to have mercy upon the people In our country, we're scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and trans...
Pause for J.D. Vance's face.
Oh, yeah, this is good stuff.
He's like, here we go. I'm just waiting for the vice presidential debate where he just, like, looks over to the camera and, like, we know you're there.
He's got that look, doesn't
he? He's got that
look. Transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some...
And in the background, Don Jr. is three rows back from the front. He's not containing himself. He starts looking around going, here we go. This is happening.
And J.D. Vance, his eyebrows just are raised a little more with each passing second.
Who fear for their lives. And the people. The people who pick our crops. And clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants.
You know, the little people who came here from another place and do all of the things for us. What are you going to do to them? We need them for poultry.
I love standing here at this pulpit and talking about these small people who pack my meat.
That's who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants.
Now J.D. Vance has moved his head to the other side like you, and it's the proverbial, you got to be kidding me.
Ooh.
Here we are.
And work the night shifts in hospitals. They may not be citizens.
Oh, did you see the Trump?
Oh, no, I didn't see. Yeah. What did he do?
Just describe for the listener. I'm going to watch his face here. You need to tell the audio listener out here on the radio. What is Donald Trump
doing? In hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals.
Okay. Go on. Up until this point, I wasn't watching Donald Trump because he had not moved.
He'd locked in.
He was just locked. He's like, I'm not even going to express anything. But when she starts saying all of this, and also, they're not citizens, he goes,
He gets the jaw thing where, you know, it's kind of like the tongue-in-cheek look where you kind of move your jaw to the side.
Uh-huh.
And in my world, when I do that, I'm just trying not to talk. I'm trying really hard not to speak. So Trump has now changed his posture, and he's like, you've made your point.
Let's look down at the program here real quick, and I'm just going to avert my eyes. That's what he's doing.
They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away. And that you
didn't Holman already said they could all go together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger.
I don't know, Pastor Brad, but is that the only mercy?
Mercy.
To the stranger?
Justice, peace. There's all sorts of things that the Bible teaches. And, like, well, yeah, she's right. It teaches us to be merciful, but she's completely getting the cart in front of the horse and saying that these people, that the merciful justice, the just thing to do is to just have mercy on them. That's not necessarily the case. She is drawing her own opinions and thoughts and placing that in the scripture, and that's not what you're supposed to do as a religious leader.
For we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, good of all people in this nation and the world.
Cycling through the thoughts that I have. I just felt like we could have used a little more Jesus in that church service. And when you're talking about the dignity of all human, I mean, as a Christian, I'm kind of thinking of the depravity of all humans, all of them, including the bishop, including President Trump, including every single person in there, how they are all sinful beings, every single one of them. Nobody's dignity and their humanity is enough to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is why Jesus came to cover the sins of all men and women alike. And that would be an empowering message to know that your depravity as a human being is not going to keep you from heaven if Jesus' blood has saved you. That would have worked, maybe.
Would have been great.
I'm a woman, though. I don't know.
There is a precedent for this, too. Oh, you are a woman. There's a precedent for this. We just talked about this on Monday. There were prayers given at the inauguration by people who stood up and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that from this bishop. I did hear her say things that I'm not accustomed to hearing mm-hmm. from the pulpit, which is like, and not the political stuff. I'm talking about, taking refuge in our mosques. Not something typically you say from a Christian pulpit. I didn't hear Jesus at all. I did hear our God. I'm not sure when you reference all these religions, whose God you're talking about. It sounds Unitarian is what it sounds like. And it's watered down.
Scooter comments, the depravity of all humans.
Yes.
I said what I said.
It's a doctrine. It's the doctrine of total depravity. It means that there is no person that is without sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, the depravity of all people.
Even me. Mostly me.
Even you, Annie.
Yeah, I'm thinking sinful things.
This is a real moment, right? We're right here.
Yeah, it's confession. I don't think that it's... Listen, of all of the places where the law of the Bible and the gospel of the Bible are appropriate to preach strictly based on scripture and what is written in the Bible, this would have been the appropriate place to do that. The exception to the rule of how politics is played... you're supposed to speak with the understanding in politics that there are people who are very diverse in thought, in perspective, in experience, and you have to understand that you include all of those people when you make any sort of policy. But when you go into the house of God, when you go into a Christian sanctuary and you fail to deliver a Christian message, I don't know, Google the Watchman in the Bible. And you don't. I don't know if you can Google in the Bible, but that's maybe coming. I don't know. But
sure
learn about the Watchmen and learn about what Scripture says about the people who put themselves in a position of what this bishop has placed herself in. And if you fail to deliver a message of law, of gospel, and the proclamation of Jesus as a savior, and instead replace that with your own political message, biblically speaking, there's a pretty big problem with that.
Biblically speaking, the person that gets brought up the most often is somebody who looked at Jesus through a political lens the most was Judas. He thought he was going to be a political savior, and he didn't fall into Judas's box. And so Judas said, this isn't for me. But the practical point from listening to her give that little message. And Brad, you're right. There are good. I love hearing pastors, mm-hmm. teachers, bishops, whoever talk about mercy and God's mercy. That is fantastic. It needs to be talked about. When you're going to bring politics into it, I don't understand why the left politically can't distinguish between legal and illegal immigration. Because there is a huge difference between bringing people in, having some sort of say over who that is, how that process happens, being merciful, being a place for refugees, it's all fine. And doing it illegally is so different than doing it legally.
Right. And whenever you look at how Jesus reacted to people that had issues, whenever he would defend somebody in the scriptures, when he would send them away, he would always say, "Go and sin no more." He acknowledged what they were doing is illegal. And he wasn't like, "Oh, they're helpless and defenseless and all this other stuff. What you're doing is illegal, but my mercy, my grace is bigger than that. I'm going to cover it." The price always had to be paid for it. And then he would tell them and command them, "Go and sin no more." they get stuck on this idea that Jesus is just this big, squishy, lovey guy. And there is an aspect of Jesus that is like that. But to boil him down to just that is so, so unbiblical.
Yeah, when we're talking about the depravity of all humans, you know, I clarify nothing. I do believe that humanity is depravity, and the only way it's made whole and holy, once again, is through Christ's blood. Scooter follows up and says, it's a cynical view. Not all Christians believe it. I would just say, read the Bible. That's all there is to it. It's not about what kind of Christian you are, what denomination you get your ticket punched when you go into heaven. It's not like that. It's just about what the Bible says. And every human has fallen short of the glory of the God of our God, and that is what the Bible says. So, Scooter, your problem's not with me. Read scripture. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're very excited to have Thomas Helbig in studio with us this afternoon. Thomas, is it still really, really cold outside?
It's really, really cold out there.
Really, really cold. It is. It's hard. It's like the takes your breath away when you go outside from a temperature-controlled
yes,
room.
But at least it's not 0 or 3 above like it was the last couple days.
Yeah, for sure. I'm reading here from Fox Business. Says major bank CEO says Trump's fiscal policies make the United States the number one place to invest again. Thomas, you are our partner and friend at the Retirement Advisory Group. We have an event coming up here. I was just talking about it, Thursday, January 30th at the Frontenac Hilton at 6:30 p.m. This is the first time I've been able to talk about one of these things where people aren't looking, you know, over to Washington, D.C. going, oh, crap.
Exactly.
People are feeling
exactly.
a bit better.
No,
how are you feeling this
hope.
Week?
Everybody has hope. And Trump's going to be great for the markets. They really are. Yeah, he really is in the long run. We're still getting over the Biden administration. We may see some volatility before the markets really take off. So we might see some volatility, but in the long run, things are going to go positive. And at this event, I'm going to teach people to show up, please. I'm going to teach you how to get these gains, whatever the market does, without any losses, no downside risk, and no fees. All the top economists are saying over the next year, 2025, the S&P should do maybe 8 to 10%.
Huh.
I'm going to show you how to capture that 8 to 10% with no risk and no fees.
That's great. And if people want to reserve their spot, you do need to reserve it. The last, I don't know, 3 or 4 of these that I've gone to, I think have sold out, or not really sold out because it's free, but filled up, I should say. So please come hang out and see us. Mark Cox and Mark Reardon and I get there at about 6 o'clock, and we hang out with you until 6:30 when we turn it over to the team at the Retirement Advisory Group at the Frontenac Hilton. If you give them a call, 314-993-9494, you can reserve your spot. When you're working with people, you work with people who are right on that cusp of retirement.
Right on the cusp, 59 and a half and above.
Yes.
Because when you're 59 and a half, if you're working still and you have a 401k or company retirement plan, at 59 and a half, that's the magic number. You can legally roll over that company retirement plan tax-free into your own IRA to avoid any more fees, avoid the risk, and keep your money safe and growing. But you can still keep participating in that 401k until you retire.
So when you're looking ahead, do you have a little extra bounce in your step right now?
Yes.
Economically speaking?
Absolutely.
Because of the administration change?
Absolutely.
How quickly will
people see?
He's
going to bring inflation down. The markets are going to go. Everything is positive. Even Meta and all these, Silicon Valley, they're all backing. They're on board.
What kind of, are there any maneuvers that he, policies, proclamations, executive orders that he has participated in already or said he's going to do? Is there anything you're looking at particularly to be specifically
deregulations.
Impactful?
Deregulations. He is eliminating so many regulations which are going to cause the markets to explode. Because regulations hold everything back, holds business back. So this is going to be good for America, folks. We may have a little turbulence before we get there because we're still transitioning. Over the last 2 months, inflation's still ticking up and Biden was lower interest rates. I'm not saying this. Well, I am saying this. I think Biden was trying to somehow leave the markets not good for Trump.
Stack the deck a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were trying to do that. But with Trump, he's going to turn the markets around. He really is.
I'm thinking of the amount of time that I've spent in this business watching news closely. I started my first day at 97.1 was February 2nd, 2009. And I remember shortly thereafter just watching the markets crash. And I didn't really know enough about what was going on or what got us to that point. I know there was a housing bubble that is involved. Inflation has had a huge effect on everything. And I think ultimately was one of the main reasons why Donald Trump won, because people just can't afford to go anywhere any longer.
So true.
How has it affected, has it pushed people's retirement back?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
How does that work?
Well, first of all, with inflation, a lot of the people, they couldn't afford groceries, things like that. But there was volatility. The job losses over the last 6 months, jobs were declining, but the Biden administration were lying about the jobs being created.
All those and corrections every time that come, they out. Come out.
Every time they come out and they say these jobs were created, a month later, yes. They would come back with a revision. Sorry, that wasn't the number. And I mean, this is what they do. And I mean, that's just...
The correction would get a 20th of the news coverage, yes. As the big
Absolutely.
Jobs numbers that come out.
Absolutely.
So the event is going to be Thursday, January 30th. You said it's filling up, but you do have some space available.
Yes, it's filling up. You don't want to miss this, though. It's next Thursday. That's a week from tomorrow at 6:30 at the Frontenac Hilton. You, Mark Reardon, Mark Cox will be there. We're holding a little contest. Mark Cox and Mark Reardon and you, they want to see how many people you get to sign up under when we're on live, because we'll be on live tomorrow on the Mark Cox Show. Folks, call 314-993-9494 or go online at retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com. Sign up for this free event. I only speak for 45 minutes.
How do we sabotage the Mark Cox interview tomorrow? I think the best way to do it is just fill the room right now with Andy people.
Well, that's one way. You could also talk to the engineers and actually take him off the air down at the tower.
I'm going to say...
You know?
Now we're really getting cool.
We got a chief engineer, a new chief engineer here. We're like, okay, yeah. I know it's a little unorthodox, yeah. But this is how we do things in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But folks, if you're a big fan of Annie, call in now or go online, retirementkey.com. Sign up for this event. Again, I only speak for 45 minutes. It's a free event, but you don't want to miss the goodies and the education I'm going to teach you about linking to the market, so you avoid all the fees and avoid the downside risks. So
it's free.
You'll be able to lock in your gains every year and never lose a penny.
Are you going to have cookies?
Yes. Good cookies, good coffee.
It's
some
in my
drinks.
Rider. Cookies for you folks once you call in. 314-993-9494. I'd love to fill that room with Annie fans. So I'll hang out with you for about 30 minutes, a little bit, 30 minutes plus before the 6:30 start. Thomas, thank you.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you next Thursday.
That sounds good. Don't even worry about Mark Cox tomorrow. Don't even worry about it. Ryan Wiggins is on the job. We're going to fill that room. Stick around, 2 o'clock hour, the Annie Fry Show next.